eyes. Belief of astigmatism. Each and every individual must work out their own salvation. Mary Baker Eddy states that we will keep plenty busy in working out our own salvation without trying to work out the salvation of someone else that is none of our business. Now, she obviously is referring to adults, for it very much is the responsibility of a parent to give proper guidance and discipline to children until they have grown up to a point where they should be making their own decisions. So we'll exclude that particular situation and address that we're talking only adults and not someone that one is responsible for as a parent or a guardian or something of that nature. She also states, and it's stated in the Bible, that we should not think about getting the little speck out of someone else's eye when we have a beam in our own eye. And of course, once we get the beam out of our own eye, which I presume refers to like a log, a real obstruction to our clear vision, then don't even think about trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye. And as a matter of fact, I believe what is really meant is that once we get the beam or the big log out of our own eye, we will be able to see clearly that it's not our business to try to get the little speck out of someone else's eye. Let everyone work out their own salvation. And Mary Baker Eddy says we'll be kept very busy just keeping our own consciousness clean and progressing spiritually. So now the big question. It all boils down to convenience, effort, and sincerity about desiring to be a real student of Christian Science. It is very easy, for example, if one experiences a minor cut on their skin where there's a little bit of bleeding. Very common to just get a Band-Aid and stick on there. Maybe clean it off and then put the Band-Aid on there. But what kind of treatment are we giving ourselves at the time that it occurs? We should take a moment. And of course, a moment is the measurement of the smallest amount of time. Maybe we should take several moments to treat the situation, because it's not natural to have an accident. It's not natural to have a cut in one's skin. It's not natural to bleed from an accident or injury. Are we treating that? Mary Baker Eddy says, don't try to accomplish ascension in one step. That's basically the idea, not her particular words. But she says, a little bit here, a little bit there. She quotes the Bible and says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. In other words, we should tend to every little thing that is not 100% godlike and take care of it in a metaphysical, spiritual way. Now, the beauty of this is that on page 146, which she wrote in the early 1900s, say, I think 1906 or 1907, she says, I have now reduced the science of divine metaphysics to a system. That's a paraphrase, but that's the idea. In other words, she has given us a system. There are certain people that promote that we should never follow any kind of a system. Well, that's contrary to what Mary Baker Eddy says she gave us. I don't believe it's possible for Mary Baker Eddy to accomplish what she accomplished in such short number of years, and she basically did it by herself, of course, being a reflection of the intelligence and all of the other qualities of God. But in essence, she didn't really have a big organization, all of which were working toward a common end. It was basically her with the support of a small group of household members that lived in the home where she lived. That's it. And most everyone else was fighting against what she was representing. Her own board of directors gave her tremendous resistance, time and time again. They didn't like the idea she was a woman. Back in those days, a woman couldn't vote, couldn't legally own property in their own name, and all kinds of things like that. They weren't expected to be intelligent. In fact, intelligence was assigned to manhood as a quality. We are faced continuously with things that are making suggestions to try to get us off the track, off the path of truth. The question is, what are we going to accept and what are we going to reject? We should reject every single thing that is not 100% from God. If we bump our arm or whatever, we're in the kitchen and we end up bleeding because we cut our finger or whatever, are we just going to accept it? Are we just going to put a Band-Aid on and forget it? We shouldn't. Mary Baker Eddy quotes the Bible and says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. She says that so-called material man is a compound result of lie upon lie. It's a paraphrase, but the idea of the thought that she's conveying. Are we going to be cultivating lie upon lie by ignoring even a small cut on one's finger or whatever when they're maybe in the kitchen, not paying as much attention as they should be to what they're doing and they cut themselves, or not paying attention to where one is walking and they're looking ahead instead of where their feet are when they're going up or down stairs? I noticed that models who obviously are trained to not be falling when they're walking in front of an audience, maybe showing new clothing or whatever, they pay attention to where their feet are, where they're walking. If it is something that could be causing an accident, such as going upstairs or downstairs or whatever, they pay attention to where they're walking. They're not distracted by looking somewhere else, which is very common to do. If one is out walking around on a sidewalk and there's uneven areas, maybe a step up or a step down or whatever, or a curb, do they pay attention to where they're walking? We should. On the other hand, we've got to be aware of what Mr. Winslow says about his article on the bicycle and the brick. If we're riding a bicycle and there's a brick in the road, we don't want to be staring at the brick, because if we do, we will run right into it and probably cause an accident. So we have to know when to look ahead and when to look where our feet are or where the wheel is on our bicycle is headed. And we need to make sure we're focusing on the correct thing. So if we have a little accident in the kitchen, or we stumble on some uneven place on a sidewalk, or we're walking and we stumble on the curb as we're walking up off the street, we're probably not focusing where we need to focus. If we have anything that becomes a part of our experience that is less than 100% perfect, we need to focus on that and solve it. Mary Baker Eddy asked Laura Sargent, one of her closest allies that lived with her in Pleasant View and then Chestnut Hill. She says, "Laura, do you sometimes forget?" And Laura was on her toes, and she says, "Mind never forgets." Well, if we forget something, are we doing that? Are we going to the truth about God's manifestation, which is what we see when we look in the mirror, us individually? Do we say, "Mind never forgets," if there's something we can't remember? Well, we should. If we say, "Well, it will come to me," well, that's a step in the right direction. It's not as good as it could be because it's relative. We should make a more absolute statement. The topic here is astigmatism. Are we going to accept the universal belief that when one ages into a middle-aged category, that it's natural to wear glasses? Maybe for reading. You call it reading glasses. You can go into a drugstore and buy them without even going to an optometrist. Just put them on and see which one gives you the correct solution. That's what's common. But is that what we should be doing? Or should we address it right there and then that we're not going to accept the common belief? Mary Baker Eddy says that as one adds age to their experience, that it should be adding wisdom because they've experienced more things and more years to believe should be more wisdom. That's a spiritual, natural development. If we learn by our mistakes, we should be adding wisdom. If we don't learn by our mistakes, then we're being foolish. So on page 146, where Mary Baker Eddy says that science has now been reduced to a system, she obviously was very systematic in everything she did. So if someone says, "Well, we're not supposed to follow any system," ask them, "Where does this say this in the manual of the Mother Church?" And that's not supposed to be our manual. That's supposed to be the manual for the people that are attending the church in Boston. But there are certain things in there that everyone can utilize, whether they're a member of the church in Boston or not. Because everything in there is truth. And everything in there is true. So what is the system? We define it on the website, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, which is mbeinstitute.org or mbeinstitute.com. We not only define it, we explain how to utilize it. At least some ways. Obviously, science is infinite, so the door is open for every individual to develop their own methods. But there is a system that is defined by Mary Baker Eddy, and it is composed of, number one, the seven synonymous terms for God. Just like mathematics is a system, it is defined as the beginning. The elements are the 10 digits of 0 through 9. Math has operators, which are called add, subtract, multiply, and divide. There's more complex ones, but that's the basics. The system of divine metaphysics has operators called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The word means the facts about God. Christ is the second one, and that means the interpretation or translation. In other words, whatever comes our way, we need to interpret or translate it into the spiritual. Jesus saw the perfect man. Are we seeing the spiritual nature of what comes our way so we can benefit from it? Or are we looking at it as an inconvenience? Mary Baker Eddy says, we will not have an experience unless it is there to bless us. The third side of the city, or the third operator, it's really called the city of God, so it's four sides. The third is Christianity. So the first is the Word, the second is the Christ, and the third is Christianity. Christianity means to prove that what we believe to be the facts about God and what we thought was the correct way to interpret and translate anything that comes our way is now in the third phase, and that is to prove it. If we prove it and we have success, then we know that we had the facts about God correct and we had the translation and the interpretation correct. Because then we bring about the result, which is healing. And the fourth side of the city, or the fourth step of the operators, or the fourth operator, rather, is science. Science means we have been successful with the demonstration. And we are now benefiting from that success, that growth that we experienced. And there are different levels. Basically, it starts at the very relative level, which is called the Christian Science level, and it ends up with the absolute level, which means that is all absolute and no relativity to it. It's speaking only about the true nature of God, and there is no relative viewpoint at that top level. And there's two other ones in between, which are steps. It's much more comprehensive than what is being stated here. And there's a gentleman by the name of Rolf Witzke that developed the system, revealed it through years and years of study and research, and took it far beyond what anyone else has done to explain the system in great detail. We have his publications on our website. Just go to the authors and go to the W and select Witzke, W-I-T-Z-S-C-H-E. So there is a system. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that she has reduced Christian Science to a system. And she said it is comprehensible by the age in which we live, or comprehensible in the age in which we live. So she defines it as basically giving us the seven synonymous terms for God, utilizing the capitalization system, so that if the first letter of the word is capitalized, it means God. So if she says mind and it's a capital M, she means the mind of God. If she uses mind and it's not capitalized, that's the relative term, and it's talking about what an individual uses as a human mind. So it is not the divine, it is the relative. Now, another very important statement she makes, which is every statement she makes is important, is that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. Again, a paraphrase. So she's saying that if we want to work our way to the divine, then we have to be magnifying the human qualities. In other words, we have to be caring about other people. We need to be loving them in the best way we know how to do it. Mr. Rawson says that our purpose on this earth is to be making other people happy? Are we really trying to make other people happy, or are we thinking about ourselves? Are we trying to get something for nothing out of life? Are we trying to give because we want to give? Solomon wanted to know from God how to be fair and honest in dealing with his kingdom, the people. He wanted to be fair and honest. He wanted to judge them properly. And because that was the only thing he asked of God, he received everything that one could imagine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we seek to know God, astigmatism will fade away. We'll forget all about it. If we bought glasses, we won't even think about putting them on, because we will have perfect vision. And it'll be sometime later that we probably realize, oh, I'm not even using glasses anymore. I'm healed. Well, their consciousness changed because they learned more about what God is. They learned more about the facts of God. They learned more about how to properly translate and interpret. They learned more about how to demonstrate. And therefore, for that particular situation, they got into the level of science, where it was automatic for them to be seeing perfectly. Mary Baker Eddy says the first step is to analyze. The second is, once we figure out what the real problem is, then we have to expose it. The third thing is, we have to eradicate it. And the fourth thing is, we have to explain it away with the truth and stick to the truth and protect the treatment so that there is no reversal. This is what Mr. Rawson says about astigmatism. And by the way, his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, lists 1,315 different ailments with suggestions on how to heal each one. And he follows Mary Baker Eddy's system to a T. So she says, number one, do the analysis. So that's what he did. He prayed about 1,315 different ailments, as well as all the body parts. At least the major ones, the ones that we are maybe have heard about without taking any medical courses. As a matter of fact, in Christian Science, in years past, you could be exempted from medical courses. I don't know what the situation is now. They're probably required before you can breathe. But here is what he says about astigmatism. He says, and here's the analysis. Okay, he did the analysis. He prayed. He treated himself so that he could understand the analysis, because that's what Mary Baker Eddy says is the first step. Okay, here's what he says. And this is, if you go to the author index from the menu and click on R for Rawson, right in the top area of his page, his index page, is a is an indication that there's 1,315 treatments. And you click on it, and it will take you to a list of all the 1,315 ailments with his suggestion for one way to approach healing it. And if you go to eyes, the first thing listed is astigmatism. I believe that's the first one listed. And it's on the total row 365, and on the page it's row 36. And here's what he says. And notice how carefully he states this. He doesn't say that I've got the solution to utopia, but he's very careful in what he says, and we need to take heed on exactly how he words his statement. He says, one medical belief is that astigmatism is due to slight irregularity in the configuration of the eyeball, resulting in indistinct sight. All right, that's the analysis. Now, the second thing she does is she says to expose it. Well, that's really part of the analysis, exposing what it is. And she says to deny it. So here's his denial. There is no astigmatism. And then what Mary Baker Eddy tells us to do is to affirm the truth. So we deny the error and we affirm the truth. And so here is the affirmation. Man's eyes are spiritual and perfect. And she says, explain it away. Explain the error away with the truth. So he says, man's eyeball is never out of shape. Man's eyeball is spiritual and perfect, for God is the principle of all law and order, and all God's ideas are governed by law and order. And then there's another belief that's about muscles in the eyes, and so he covers that, and he says, man's muscles are never out of order. Everything in consciousness is perfect and works perfectly. So you see, he ties this in with truth. Truth, which is the sixth of seven synonymous terms for God. It's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Truth is consciousness and motive. And so he goes to truth and he says, man's muscles, so that's another belief that it could be some problem with the muscles in the eye, says man's muscles are never out of order. Everything in consciousness is perfect and works perfectly. Well, consciousness could not represent truth if it wasn't perfect, because truth means it has to be perfect. There is no error therein. It has to be flawless. Now, Mary Baker Eddy states that the only substance is spirit. And we know that spirit is the opposite of so-called matter. And we know matter is full of flaws. Therefore, spirit has to be the opposite. Spirit is flawless. The Indians had a beautiful lake in one area, and the water was calm, and it was reflecting perfectly the beautiful landscape. And they called it the smile of the Great Spirit. Well, we must realize that everything in consciousness is perfect and works perfectly. So he covers the whole thing in a few sentences in one short paragraph. I'll repeat it from beginning to end without any comment. One medical belief is that astigmatism is due to slight irregularity in the configuration of the eyeball, resulting in indistinct sight. There is no astigmatism. Man's eyes are spiritual and perfect. Man's eyeball is never out of shape. Man's eyeball is spiritual and perfect, for God is the principle of all law and order. And all God's ideas are governed by law and order. Man's muscles are never out of order. Everything in consciousness is perfect and works perfectly. Now, it's very easy to expand on this. For example, we could consider each of the primary seven synonymous terms for God and think about how this applies to vision. or eyesight, or eyes, or organs. In fact, there was a new treatment just prepared extemporaneously and posted on the website on August 21, yesterday. This is 2023. And it's under the topic of organ, O-R-G-A-N. If one wanted to think about eyes and vision and so forth relating to mind, and by the way, Helen Wright wrote a wonderful book. All of her books are great, but the title is Your Divinity Revealed. And chapter 4 is on mind, chapter 5 is on spirit, and so forth up through chapter 10. An excellent, excellent example of how to learn thoroughly and deeply about each of those seven synonymous terms. Highly recommended. Again, you just go to the menu, click on authors, click on W for Wright, and all of the books are right there in the on the index page. Or you could go to the menu and click on topics or on treatments, because it's also listed under the topic of mind and under the treatments. So if one wanted to consider mind and how it relates to vision, mind represents creative ability. These are just a few of the key attributes of mind. So creative ability, omniscience is a part of mind, and omniscience includes wisdom, knowing, and intelligence. Other qualities of mind that relate to this would be capacity, capability, functionality, facility, performance. And you think about all these things just noted, then the performance is measured and it is termed power. If one goes to shop for a car, well, not so much now, but it used to be that they sold them based on the amount of horsepower. I guess they were still in the day and age of the Pony Express. But horsepower is a measurement of the performance that they were able to prove in a test. So they say, well, this has so many horsepower. They even have electric motors that are rated by horsepower. So if one thinks about eyes or vision as it relates to mind, and they think about the power, then we know that vision is a product of all of these things that come from mind. And if we refer to the glossary, which is chapter 17 of Science and Health, on the page that gives the definition of God as being all-seeing, I think it's 585. Anyway, it says God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. And then it provides the seven synonymous terms after that to complete the definition. And then at the end it says all substance and intelligence. In any event, on that same page is the definition of good. And under the definition of good, it says God, spirit, and then gives the four omnis: omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniaction. We need to have action coupled with the other attributes of mind in order to bring about performance. So we've got to be thinking about the creative ability, the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, the capability, the capacity, the functionality, the facility, and that needs to be coupled with action to bring about performance. And then the performance is measured and becomes power. And of course, if we think of an unlimited amount of all these other qualities, attributes, then we're going to have unlimited power. If we think about a limited viewpoint on anything, then we're going to have a limited amount of power. Some of the most successful people financially or in business or whatever their goal was, they say, if you want to have big results, you have to think big. Well, if we're thinking about God, we better be thinking big. We better be thinking in the infinite. Then we leave the door wide open to infinite results. If one would curl up their forefinger, which is the finger next to their thumb, and just leave a little opening, and look through that, one would be amazed how that improves one's vision. Why? Mary Baker Eddy says in her letter to one of her students about vision, she says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? We are forced to focus through that little opening by curling up our forefinger and looking through it. It's tantamount to like looking through a microscope or a telescope if it had no magnification. The clarity and the vision would be improved without any magnification. And of course, they use magnification by curving the glass in a certain way, whatever they do to make a magnifying glass or a magnifying lens. So it not only improves the focus, but it magnifies it. But the clarity is so much better if you're looking through a small little orifice. They have glasses called peephole glasses, P-E-E-P. Like a peekaboo, you're looking through. Kids do this kind of stuff in games and stuff and so forth. So they have these peephole glasses you can buy, and they're not made out of glass. They are like a solid surface, and then they drill all these little holes in it so that your eyes are forced to go through these little openings, and it improves your vision. Well, what is the real orifice, the real opening that we should be looking through? It should be the lens of spirit. We should be looking through the lens for the truth. Forget about buying peephole glasses. Forget about curling up your finger. Those are just examples to try to amplify what Mary Baker Eddy states about, can you focus no matter what comes your way? In other words, no matter what challenge you are facing unexpectedly, or maybe you had a fear of it and you brought it on yourself, whatever, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, are you able to focus on the truth about God, the truth about God's manifestation? I mean, we're only just starting with mind. Imagine going through all seven. Okay, I just pointed out a few of the attributes of mind, and we can apply that to vision, because mind being the only power, which is a result of the performance, which is a result of putting together the creative ability, the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility, the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And if we realize the only substance is spirit, which is flawless, how about soul? Soul is spiritual sense. It's spiritual because spirit is the only substance. So by sense, I'm talking about seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Mary Baker Eddy defines in the Blue Book that spiritual seeing is spiritual perception. In other words, are we filtering at the onset of looking, are we filtering? Are we deciding, is this true or false? And if we do it correctly, then our hearing is going to be improved, because we're going to be getting spiritual understanding from what we're looking at. What should we be looking at? We should be looking at God's qualities in whatever it is we're looking at. Jesus saw the perfect man. He didn't matter whether other people saw a blind person, a dead person, or somewhere in between, or a sinful person. Jesus saw the perfect man. Jesus saw the perfect idea of God, the manifestation of God. That's what we need to be looking for. Mary Baker Eddy set aside time several times a day. She allocated time specifically to be focusing on perfection. Several times a day. Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day at the risk of being put in the lion's den. And that's where he was put. But he was able to control the situation because he was depending on the power of God, the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. He had to know that God was in control. Well, where does our eyesight come from? It doesn't come from astigmatism. It doesn't come from muscles. The only organ is the organ of God. What is an organ? An organ, think of a diapason. Think of an orchestra. It is a combination of goodness. Mary Baker Eddy refers to the diapason of heaven in her class notes. 740 pages of Mary Baker Eddy's class notes from 1881 to 1898. These are notes taken by students that attended her classes. And as we know, the final class in 1898, the students from that class were all given the certification of a CSD, Doctorate of Christian Science. So if one contacts us through our message system and provides their phone number, we will call you and we will tell you how you can get the entire transcript of class notes from all these students, 740 pages of them. And boy, it's one of the most valuable references you can have, alongside with science and health, for example. It is one of the best investments one will ever make. So contact us with your phone number, and we will disclose to you how you can get compilation of several of the students that attended the Massachusetts Metaphysical College that was taught directly by Mary Baker Eddy. Now, if one thinks about these qualities that have been mentioned about mind and related to eyes and vision and the definition of God in the glossary, that is a direct way to work with how mind assists in helping us change our consciousness so that we get rid of the limitation of the universal belief of age having an impact on our vision, and where we can cultivate the concept that age is an opportunity to have more wisdom instead of a deterioration of organs or muscles in the eye or anything else. Because if the creative ability and the capability and the facility and functionality capacity is all from mind, how can our vision be in decline? How can there be anything called astigmatism or anything else that can make a slight irregularity, as Mr. Rawson states is what the medical one medical belief is? There can't be any slight irregularity. There can't be any configuration of the eyeball that can be influencing. There can't be any indistinct sight. We either believe, build up our confidence, our understanding, that God is all and there is nothing but God and God is the only power, or we don't. We have to study. We have to do precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't expect to ascend in one day, because we are the product of a universal belief that we are born a sinner and we have all these problems to work out of throughout our whole life, and we ascend to a particular point in our life and then we descend until we go into termination called death. Well, we need to spend our life working on getting rid of all those universal beliefs. Forget about pre-existence of evil and think about pre-existence of perfection. Forget about coming out of a mother's womb, but think about always being in existence as an idea of God. On the website, we teach you how to do these things. We teach you how to take each one of those synonymous terms and utilize it for the benefit of overcoming any belief. And of course, a belief is a theory, a so-called material theory. And the website gives you the opportunity to learn how to focus on the facts. If one doesn't think they're getting enough from the website or enough from their work, have you thought about giving? One of the individuals featured on our website indicated that he wasn't making enough spiritual progress. And he spoke to an experienced Christian Scientist who told him, he says, are you studying 5 hours a day? He said, you should be. I mean, that's only 20% of our 24 hours. Are we willing to devote 20% of our 24 hours to bringing about perfect experience in our life, making a difference, helping to be not only a raindrop, but making a flood of truth, reflecting that out into the universal thought to overcome the universal belief that is building up and has been compounded year after year forever? Well, he thought that's a lot of time, and his schedule was such that he was he was already committed some, I don't know, 15 or so hours a day, or 17 or 18 hours a day. And he says, okay, I'm going to do it. I think that left him 1 hour a day to sleep or something. And he said, I'm going to do it. And by the end of the week, there was such a dramatic difference in his life that he couldn't believe it. And that was the catapult. That was the catalyst that made a dramatic change in his life. He had such a conviction about Christian Science after doing that for a while that he ended up being invited to a variety of places to speak. And we have some MP3s and things that he wrote on our website. By the way, if anyone has any questions about anything in this or any other treatment, just send us a message with a way to contact you by phone, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have, help you raise yourself up with your bootstraps. Of course, really, what's raising you up is the truth. But the ones here at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute are lifelong Christian Scientists who are 100% dedicated to following and pursuing a better understanding of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, her message to the world, and we're all volunteers. We give everything we've got. If you're not getting as much as what you would like to out of the website, maybe you need to give more. Are you giving anything to the website? How about to God? What are you giving to God? Are you devoting 5 hours a day of serious study? An hour a day? Are you just reading the same words over and over with the same thoughts? Or are you starting fresh like you've never seen what you're reading in the past, and you're looking for everything that you can find in spiritual inspiration? We provide music with every treatment. Beautiful inspiration. You want to give some appreciation for the music? We give you ways that you can make donations that go directly to the musicians. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Astigmatism, no problem. Nothing can be a problem. Only an opportunity to raise yourself up to a higher level of understanding and be a better light that you can reflect out to the universe of thought that will be a help to everyone. Every receptive thought can tune in to what you're reflecting out. It has been stated that we can tune in to everything that Jesus said in his own voice, well, the voice of truth. We can tune into that channel. That's what we need to strive to do. Tune into the channel of truth, whether it's he or Mary Baker Eddy or Mr. Rosin, Mr. Winslow, another fine practitioner that raised a boy from the dead, wrote a wonderful article entitled An Anachronism. We have it in MP3 and PDF. Wentworth Winslow. Check him out. One key point to remember: that God is perfect, God is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, omniaction. That covers everything. God is all in all. There is nothing but God. Period. Amen.